You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From Shakespeare to Schwartz, from Fosse to Alvin Ailey, from Sondheim to Bareilles, from McNally to Faye, it happened to the greats, it still happens every day. When lightning strikes, it's the moment you know. When lightning strikes, where you're meant to go. You can stand and shout Eureka, do whatever you like. You'll never forget the moment when lightning strikes.
Hi. This is Gerald Brunner, and you're listening to When Lightning Strikes, where we talk about the tingly mic drop moments that led you to becoming an artist. Gwendolyn Warlock and Kieran Vogue both wrote and directed The Immortal Jellyfish Girl, currently playing at 59 East 59 Theaters. This dazzling out-of-the-box show is presented by Waka Waka and Norland Visual Theater. Gwendolyn and Kieran are part of Waka Waka Productions, a nonprofit visual theater company based in New York City and Oslo. Their mission is to stretch the limits of the imagination and create daring and unpredictable theater. You will hear some background noise. The couple recorded the interview from a cafe. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. I love The Immortal Jellyfish Girl. It's says so many things to me. Here it is. It's the year 2555. We're in this post-apocalyptic Earth with mass extinction and dead zones, and the Earth has been destroyed by this ecological disaster, and humans have evolved to groups at war. And there's so much, we're so invested in the characters we meet. Can you talk about when you first decided to tackle the story? You know, what was the genesis of it?
Well, the show is actually part of a trilogy. It's a little known that it's one of three pieces, but the first piece is called Animal Riot. And Animal Riot talks about one of the characters that's in The Immortal Jellyfish Girl, and that's Fox, who's the narrator.
Yes.
And in our first show, which feels a little bit like a kind of punk rock attempt at making an organization or founding an organization that's trying to address the issues of helplessness in the face, or feeling helpless in the face of animal extinction and man's sort of role in destroying elements of the planet that we need to survive or that we want to have in the future with us. And he's sort of grappling with that and trying to be proactive, be an activist. He's trying to be an activist. He's trying to find a way where he can make a difference or start something, start a movement, which is not an easy thing to do. Of course, we all know that.
Yes.
So that's sort of the foundation of the trilogy, and that takes place in the present time. And then the second part of the trilogy, which is the one that's playing at 59 East 59, the Fox is starting to imagine a future, and the future that he imagines is a space that humans don't exist in anymore. So that's really where the point to, it takes this place of like what happens when we're gone, you know, and humans have evolved into, like you said, two other species, and the world is struggling to survive, and animals are fighting against it. And in this scenario, there's sort of animals versus technology or versus AI is where the two humans have gone into those extremes, either more into the roots of animal genetic manipulation or becoming more technologically advanced. So the situation for us was this idea of trying to write a future that is a positive one, And that's what he struggles with through the whole show, like trying to write a positive future, but constantly finding that the future is difficult to change. The future is difficult to manipulate. Like each road leads you to a place that isn't necessarily where you want to be. And that sort of was the basis for it. Of like, how do we make future? How do we tell a story that we think is funny? And also it deals with the underlying issues of feeling sometimes hopeless and still trying to find the hope of what is.
Yes.
What is the future? Yeah.
Yes.
For us, where is it going to be?
Because I felt so much compassion for Bug, the robot boy, and Aurelia, you know, the immortal jellyfish girl, and their connection. And here they're supposed to be warring, and yet they want to save, you know, what's humanity. You know, and in this very beautiful way, and you think, oh, everything is against them, you know, and yet here they are, you know, in this kind of, dare I say, like a David and Goliath kind of story on some level.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's also a kind of Romeo and Juliet in that way, that you understand that the youth doesn't see all the other issues that are there. They only see the things that seem to be honest and truthful, which is, you know, love and also kindness, sometimes sharing, those kind of things that comes a little bit easier for children. Mug and Aurelia too see, like, why do we have to deal with all these other problems? These aren't our problems. What you guys are fighting about is not what we're fighting about, right? We're fighting, we want something else. But of course, they're powerless in the face of all these other, like you said, Goliath problems that have evolved over time.
Yes.
Or feel powerless. They're trying to change, you know, but the...
Yeah. Can you
it's not easy.
It's not easy. No. And can you talk about that you're actually in the show, right? I mean, in addition to co-writing and co-directing it with Gwendolyn, can you talk about who you play?
I'm the narrator.
Yes.
The fox.
The fox. Love the
so
fox.
It's a human. A human in a fox costume.
Yes.
That's kind of trapped and lost in the story or in the the narration. He's lost in narration. Very much in this puppet show. So it's a self-aware puppet show.
Yes.
But it has life of its own, the puppet show, and doesn't really go the way the narrator wants it to go.
No.
Just like future doesn't always happen the way we want it to happen. We can't completely control it.
And I love that you're constantly talking to us. You're breaking the fourth wall. You're bringing us in.
Yes, I think it's important to do. For us, it's important to use it to do things in the theater that you really can't do anywhere else.
Yeah.
Which is the direct connection that you can have with an audience. Because we're there at the same time.
I love the details, like the lobster phone and how you stretch me as an audience member. Can you talk about some of the details that were important for you, you know, in terms of the set, in terms of the costumes, you know, the turtle costume, you know, why those were important?
Well, we've been developing this show on and off all through the pandemic, really. And then they're just elements that we wanted to include. We've kind of tried to put in as much as possible within the frame, the design frame of the show, can you call it? So the lobster phone is we've lifted from Salvador Dali. You know his lobster phone.
Yes, I love that.
So we made our version of that. It's made a red one, and then a lot of the other elements we put in to create this kind of ridiculous universe that we want to make around it.
Which is also surreal.
Absurd at times. So we put them in.
Yes.
And also, I think it's a testament too to the, I mean, people when they see the piece do definitely have fun while they're watching it. You know, I think there is a lot of surprises and a lot of joy in meeting the characters, the turtle that you're saying, and seeing his costume and his presence on stage. And the lobster frog is a surprise. So that's it. But those are moments of pleasure too that you're taking in this universe.
Yeah.
We knew we wanted to have a shell for the, needed a shell for the turtle and to have a head that could go in. Retract into the shell.
Yes.
But the neck got longer and longer. So it started out with quite a short neck, and then it got longer.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And then the villain who's only, I don't want to ruin it too much for people because they need to see it, but just that she's this goddess machine who's the sort of the grand poopah of it all, right? Who's running things, only has certain body parts. And it's just ingenious, you know, the way you create this universe. And here they are, puppets. And like it feels like animatronics in a way. And you're just so invested in all the characters. What was it like to co-write and co-direct the piece together?
Well, Kieran and I work very closely, and we have on all the pieces that we've made up to this point.
We're married.
Yes.
That's definitely take the job home with us. So we're working all the time.
When we started working on it, Gwen was she was playing the jellyfish girl. So I will be sitting outside a lot more. But then as she stepped out, and we cast someone else to play the jellyfish girl, and Gwen was doing most of the direction.
I see.
And we've been writing, we did that up. Been writing it with the help from the ensemble as well, and workshopping it step by step. So it's had
we've had several versions of a script that we put through and make changes a lot, because with puppetry as well, you're having people that are, you have to move the puppets through space, and they have to be able to accomplish the things you want them to be able to do. Sometimes, it's harder than you think. So you're constantly making changes to adapt for that as well.
Yeah. Oh, they're so human-like, all these puppets, and imbued with so much emotions. You know, you forget. There's such a grace with the jellyfish girl, you know, with her wild hair and the way she moves in space. It's really beautiful. versus the other characters, you know, how they move. There's a whole, it seems like there's a whole language there with your puppets, you know, with each one. Yeah. What about the yin and yang of you both? Forgive me, I didn't know you were married. Nowhere does it say that you're married. I love that, but I didn't know that. Is there a yin and yang to you? Do each of you bring a separate, you know, kind of sensibility to your collaboration?
For sure, for sure.
I mean, what do you each bring?
Well, I think that we're both very creative people that like to play in this world of science fiction and magic. That's the reason why we're both attracted to puppetry and visual theater. And I would say that there's a side that's a little more serious that I take. There's a side that's a little bit more ridiculous that Kieran takes. And so the combination tends to make a show that plays on both levels. So that's the good part. I mean, Kieran also is making the puppets, so he's building and creating the puppets that you see, which is a huge proposition into the storytelling.
Oh, that's enormous. Yeah. Can you each talk about your lightning strikes moment when you each knew you had to be an artist, that this was your path?
Sure. Mine was... it happened very young, and my mother always said that I it was a very serious child. She said I was very precocious, but very serious. Like, it didn't seem like I was always having as much fun as she wanted me to have. And then I started doing theater, and that's when I started. And I remember this as a child, too, actually. It's not that I didn't have fun. I had a lot of fun, but I experienced a kind of joy when it came to the creativity of performance and making performances that I haven't been able to let go of. So that was for me, like, this is it. And I knew from the time I was probably, actually, I mean, I think I was in my first show when I was in kindergarten, but after that, like, I started doing a lot more when I was in, like, 8, 9. It just...
So you grew up in Ohio. Do you remember one of the first shows that you did?
Well, the first show, yeah, I mean, the first show that I did in kindergarten was just that the teacher chose me to be the owl when everybody else was birds. That was the kindergarten show. So the owl was the lead. So I got to be the owl. And and I was the one that was awake at night when everyone else was sleeping. And I just remember really the joy of performing. It's really like a space of joyfulness that if you feel it, I mean, I don't want to say it's like a drug or something, but it is something that you... when you have that bug,
yes.
When the lightning strikes for you, you know,
yes,
it stays, and you just constantly want to be in that space. You want to be performing, you and creating. All those things bring me quite much joy.
Ah,
even though it's hard work, even though it's stressful, all those other things that make it difficult, the joy still persists.
Yes. And what about you?
One of my, I don't know, you know.
You're from Norway.
Did not. Yes, I am.
Okay.
And my parents are artists.
Okay.
So when I was a child, I was put on stage by my father, the director.
Okay.
And I did not like it at all.
Oh.
So lightning did not strike me until later. Before I decided to go to theater school, when I was studying in Italy, right before going on stage, I guess that's when lightning struck.
What inspired you? You said you didn't like it at first. So what inspired you to pursue it, to go, to continue?
I caught the bug.
Ah, okay. And how did you, do you mind sharing how both of you met when you first met and became collaborators?
At theater school in Paris.
Ah.
It was very romantic.
Okay. Were you doing a show together or working in class or what were the...
We're in school together.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And we started working together in the Shakespeare play, actually, after school.
Actually, Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet. But we did. She played Juliet, but I was not Romeo.
Who were you? Who did you play?
The friar. Friar Lawrence.
And is it to admit, what can you say? What you adored about each other? What you adore about working together and collaborating?
We share the same intensity.
But also, I don't think you can work with everyone. And I think, especially those a lot of people who can't work with their partner. So it definitely takes a certain ability to listen and understand one another and have similar goals, like the intensity, like you said. But you have to enjoy what each other brings to the table. You know, we do complement each other. And that makes working together fun. If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't be able to do it, you know? So I think that's what it is. There's a little bit of magic there with that we're constantly exploring and, you know, picking a new project to work on. It's very fun to brainstorm together and, you know, decide what it is where we want to go next. You know, what's the next journey going to be? Because it really is a long journey. It's a couple of years of something that we're working on quite intensely.
Yeah.
At work and at home, you know, it takes over to a certain extent.
Imagine. Or what would you like people to take away from the show?
And, you know, I think it's hard to answer that when you made the work yourself. I think it's a lot easier as somebody who comes to see it to talk about that. But what I'm excited about is that everyone is so surprised when they see the show. You know, people are really loving the show. And that for me is exciting because it is puppetry. It is for an adult audience. It is a little bit, like you say, absurd. And there's silliness that's involved. It does deal with themes that are important, but also sometimes dark. And there's a love story there. So we've tried to bring a lot of things together. And at the end of the show, everyone walks out like, wow. So I think that it's a show to be seen for because of all those different elements that are brought together into one piece.
Yes. It really takes you on the journey. So, well, thank you so much for coming on. It's lovely to talk to you both. And I really do love the show.
Thank you so much, Jill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It still happens every day when lightning strikes. It's the moment you know.
The theme song was written by Tom McGovern. This episode was edited by Kyle Moore.
This episode was produced by Anna Stroud.
When lightning strikes.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.